Welcome to the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. My name is Sean Coleman. It's a pleasure to be with you. It is Tuesday, January 6th. Hope wherever you are listening that you are well and that the 2021 year is getting off to a good start for you and your loved ones as possible. On today's show, we're going to discuss what to take away from a back-to-back series with the reigning world champions. Though two losses were the result, plenty of positives when it comes to the Grizzlies that overall shine a light on some clear improvements that, you know, go back to some things that I mentioned before the season. We'll jump into that in the first segment. In the second and third segments, had a listener by the name of Thomas Rakia ask some very interesting questions. Forgive me, Thomas, if I said your last name wrong, but asked some very interesting questions that I feel are certainly worth talking about in terms of the Grizzlies' young talent, in terms of injuries, and the present and future when it comes to contract situation. We're going to talk about plenty of that in the second and third segment, certainly relevant to this season and beyond. Of course, you can find the show at Locked On Grizz, myself at StatsSAC. You can find the show wherever podcasts are available, Spotify, Stitcher, the Apple Podcast, Google Podcast, the podcast app on your phone, wherever you choose to listen to the show. So, obviously, the Grizzlies, for three quarters, actually for seven of the eight quarters against the Los Angeles Lakers, the Grizzlies played right with them. As a matter of fact, last night, the Grizzlies should have won the game. There were probably seven or eight, you know, very close to the rim shots, either that Jonas Valanciunas, Brandon Clark, or others took, that just simply did not fall. If two of them fall, the Grizzlies win this game. Obviously, you know, former Grizzly, and certainly we're glad to see him back, Marc Gasol just absolutely had the clamp on Jonas Valanciunas and made life miserable for him yesterday. But the Grizzlies, even without Jonas, and actually that makes it even more impressive, they still were able to find ways to be competitive. And that is, there are certainly ways in which this Grizzlies team, despite being without their best talents, are finding ways to be competitive. But yes, seven out of the eight quarters, the Grizzlies were competitive. However, at the end of the day, the reason why the Lakers won the title last year were the reasons why they won these games. LeBron taking over in the fourth quarter in game one, AD being able to hit the corner threes, and LeBron having a very, very effective second half is what won the games for the Lakers. But in what ways is this Grizzlies team really starting to come together and become competitive to the point that hopefully as the schedule gets a bit, you know, easier in terms of competition, they could start finding some wins? Well, it starts with three things that I had mentioned in the offseason, and that is the Grizzlies' ability to shoot the three, to defend the three, as well as to limit mistakes. Now, let's get the obvious out of the way. The Grizzlies are struggling mightily when it comes to shooting the three. Right now, they are near the bottom five in three-point production on offense. They have Desmond Bane, but their other shooters, such as Grayson Allen, such as Tyus Jones, Dylan Brooks, and others, they are struggling right now for three. And if the Grizzlies are going to, in any way, shape, or form, get back to potentially being in the playoff race, they're going to have to find their stroke from three. But in time, that will hopefully come as a result of better talents being on the court and can help with spacing, especially when Jaren Jackson Jr. Is back. But that is just one of the many things that I had mentioned that the Grizzlies would need to find improvement in order to really take the next step as a franchise. The other two areas, the Grizzlies have started taking a step forward, and that is in the area of limiting mistakes as well as defending the three. And that is where this Grizzlies team really has stepped up for a variety of reasons. First, in defending the perimeter. Right now, thus far through the season, the Grizzlies right now rank 14th in defensive rating. So they're about league average, a bit above average, when it comes to their overall defensive performance and the defensive effectiveness so far. And we've seen that be the reason why they've been able to win games and stay in games. It was the reason they stayed in the game last night, the reason that they beat the Nets a few Mondays ago by the playing defense well in the fourth quarter and overtime, and the reason why they beat the Hornets last Friday. But it's specifically their ability to shoot the three. Right now, the Grizzlies are ninth in terms of three-pointers made per game and eighth in terms of, they're ninth in terms of opponents' three-point field goals made per game, and they are eighth in opponents' three-point field goal percentage. So they are in the top 10 at defending the three in the league. A big development, a big reason why they're being able to stay competitive despite being without their stars, and certainly a step forward from their production in that specific area last year. And Taylor Jenkins talked about it. He not only talked about the one-on-one defense, but the guys buying into the system that he wants to put in place. But it also is a result of the one-on-one defense and these guys putting forth the effort and getting better at defending. You know, we've seen it. Tyus Jones has stepped up his defensive ability. De'Anthony Melton being back certainly helps. Dylan Brooks and Kyle Anderson are certainly doing their parts. Overall, this Grizzlies defense has certainly taken a step forward, and that's without Justice Winslow and Jaren Jackson Jr., who easily could be this team's best duo of defenders when they come back. So a big reason why the Grizzlies are being as competitive as they can be without their stars is because they've improved as a team in a critical area of defending the perimeter. But it's not just defending the perimeter. It's also the fact that they are limiting mistakes. Right now, the Grizzlies are fifth in terms of fouls per game. We've seen it against the Hawks, where the Grizzlies just were getting, it felt like we're getting ticky-tack fouls all day long. If we got anywhere near Trae Young or any of the Hawks players, they were going to the foul line. But since then, and overall, the Grizzlies are fifth best in the league when it comes to limiting fouls. They're only committing 18 fouls per game. So they certainly are not beating themselves when it comes to sending teams to the free throw line, at least since that Atlanta game. Another big development for the Grizzlies is that while they're not doing that well, they're towards the bottom of the league when it comes to forcing turnovers per game when it comes to their opponents. They actually are 12th in the league when it comes to committing their own turnovers. So the Grizzlies are in the top half of the league when it comes to taking care of the basketball, and top five in the league when it comes to fouling least. That certainly is a big development for this team, because as we know, without their stars, there already is kind of a ceiling. They have a lower ceiling overall for their talent than a lot of teams they're going to play. That's just naturally the case when you're without your best players. But the Grizzlies are not beating themselves like we thought could be the case after the game against Boston last Wednesday. Over the past three games, the Grizzlies have not beat themselves. They played to the best of their abilities. Unfortunately, last night, for instance, shots just were not falling like they should, and eventually the best talents wound up winning the game, and that was LeBron James and Anthony Davis. But the Grizzlies not beating themselves and taking care of the things that they can control, which is defending effectively and not making as many mistakes as they did at times last year, that's them controlling what they can control and playing to their strengths, and that's what's at least putting them in positions to win. The other thing that's a bit ironic, that I didn't necessarily, mention as being something that the Grizzlies had to improve upon because they were so good at it last year, is the bench production. At the first of this year, especially against the Spurs and the Hawks, the Grizzlies' bench was not productive at all due to the struggles of Tyus Jones and Brandon Clark specifically. But when you have Ja and others who have been lost to injury, Tyus and Brandon Clark went into the starting lineup. Well, as soon as they go, that's when the Grizzlies' bench really emerges as now being a true difference maker when it comes to helping the Grizzlies stay in the game or even getting leads or, catching up with their opponents. The bench unit over the past week has stepped up again for the Grizzlies in a huge way. A huge reason for that is the play of Gorgui Dieng. Gorgui Dieng has been absolutely incredible over the past three games. We'll talk a bit more about that tomorrow, but in general, him, Desmond Bain, Xavier Tillman over the past two games, De'Anthony Melton, the depth of the Grizzlies is again showing and it's being effective. And this bench unit for three straight games has really stepped up and supported the starting lineup, which in of itself is probably one of the bottom 10 starting lineups in the league. So the Grizzlies not only are playing to their strengths when it comes to their bench unit, they have also shown significant improvement in areas that they needed to improve in for them to remain competitive. Now, if they were doing this with their stars, the story might be a bit different to where the Grizzlies are maybe 4-3 or 5-2 and are clearly looking like a potential playoff team. But without their stars, they're at least doing these things to be able to stay competitive. And though it may take a while for the stars to get back, and by that time it may be too late for the Grizzlies to really have a playoff chance, at the very least when their roster is near full health, the production of this roster right now, making improvements for the franchise as a whole when compared to last year, once they get their best talents back, that'll just make them even stronger. And if the playoffs aren't in the picture, it's at least going to make this team very dangerous and win quite a few games they may not be expected to going down the stretch of the season and becoming a team no one wants to face as time goes on. So the fact that the Grizzlies' depth, the fact that they're having to rely on lesser talents, but overall a strength of their team when it comes to their depth, and this depth depth is responding by making the franchise itself improve in extremely important areas when compared to last year, that certainly is a positive sign. Though the wins may not be there right now, once the Grizzlies become fully healthy, the production and the overall results this current roster is producing will put them in a much better position to win consistently going forward as they get healthy later this year and beyond. But speaking of later this year and beyond, there's going to be plenty of discussions that come up about how players are coming back from injuries and what it potentially can mean for their future contracts. Had a loyal listener named Thomas Frakia ask me a few questions about injuries and contracts that I think were really important and interesting to discuss, because I think the talks around those two subjects could certainly become much more frequent as time goes on. Coming up, we'll discuss the Grizzlies' current injury situation and also what it could mean for several players in terms of their future contracts with Memphis. Are you ready for some playoff and championship football? That is correct. We're now in the year 2021, and of course that means every January the championships are decided for both college football and professional football. And of course, we've got the NCAA championship game coming up next Monday, as well as the start of the NFL playoffs this weekend. But besides you just being able to watch the games for fun, why not take advantage of some opportunities and see if you may be able to profit off of them a bit by going to the one place that has you covered and the one place we know you can trust, and that's BetOnline.ag. Sign up today for a free account at betonline.ag and use that promo code LOCKEDON for your 50% welcome bonus. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action. Don't forget to use the promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbooks experts. Visit our good friends and exclusive partner at betonline.ag to take advantage of the best bonuses in the business. Sign up for a free account and use the promo code LOCKEDON for your sign-up bonus today. Hashtag BetOnline. 2020 is over. It's time for a fresh start and a few more wins. But why not profit off those wins when you can, just like the teams that you cheer for or may keep up with, win, your pocketbooks could win as well. If you're betting this year and want more wins, listen to Locked On Bets with your boy Q and Lee Sterling of Paramount Sports. They are picking college basketball, football, and NBA locks all winter long and have had some pretty strong track records with their locks of the day. Subscribe to Locked On Bets wherever you get your podcast. Welcome back to the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. So we discussed in the first segment, you know, how the Grizzlies are starting to improve in some needed areas. Some areas, you know, that they did well last year that was so critical to their success, and also some areas where they've taken a step forward where they've been able to really improve on weaknesses from last year as a roster entirely to where it's strengths of the roster right now. But let's look more individually at some of the young stars on this team, as well as what it means for their present and their future. So Thomas Frakia is a loyal listener of Locked On Grizzlies, and he really hit the nail on the head with two big questions that I think are definitely paramount to discuss right now, looking forward to the Grizzlies' schedule. So his first question was in regards to what are the updates on several of the injuries right now that are plaguing the Grizzlies. And of course, we can kind of separate the six players on injured reserve right now into two categories. You've got the categories of depth, and you've got the categories of starters. And for the categories of depth, that includes Jontay Porter, Killian Tilley, and John Concher. Now, John Concher will likely be out for, you know, I think the next few days. I don't think his injury, he has an ankle injury. I don't think it is as bad as John Morant, but I think that it's likely going to be next week before we see John Concher. Of course, having three games in four nights, it's kind of hard to really get a player back in the groove, though he may. That's the thing, though. First, I'll start with this. Any information that I have to give about these injuries is simply just general speculation, kind of reading the tea leaves. The Grizzlies, as they should, keep things very close to the vest, and they also remain very cautious when it comes to injuries. That's what you do with the young roster, especially when you've bought yourself time to kind of let the roster play out. So there's been no specific timelines or anything like that. The Grizzlies typically don't give those, whether you consider that a competitive advantage or whatever it may be. They're just simply taking advantage of keeping things as close to the vest as possible. We know that that's how this front office likes to operate, and it's worked out so far. So all of this is purely speculation, nothing, you know, tangible as far far as information from the franchise. So, but John Cotcher, I would say probably within the next week we'll see him. With Killian Tilley and Jontay Porter, it's kind of up in the air. You know, the last time Coach talked with us about the injuries, it seems as if they were progressing nicely. But the thing with Porter and Tilley, though, is that their injuries, which is knee soreness for Porter and hamstring strain for Tilley, unfortunately, these two players, normal injuries like that or injuries that would seem minor, you have to take a little bit more of a concern with these players because they've had such lengthy injury histories. You want them to get going, obviously, but unfortunately, they're both missing a time in which they really could stand out, you know, with there being so much opportunity with stars being out that, you know, it's really unfortunate that those two are not available to play. However, hopefully soon they'll be able to get back going, and likely they both, Porter will likely stay with Memphis, but just like Sean McDermott, Killian Tilley will get some time with the Hustle once the G League season starts. So that's for the depth. The more pertinent names as far as the injuries go were obviously Justin, Jaren Jackson Jr., and John Morant. Now, before the season, the hope, the speculation was right around this time, hopefully Justice Winslow would be back. About 2 weeks into the season, we'd be discussing Justice Winslow. Maybe towards MLK Day or likely later in January, we'd be discussing Jaren Jackson Jr. That easily could be the case. They easily could come back sometime next week and say Justice is ready to go. There's been sightings of both of these players plus Jaw, you know, being out on the court, doing work and things such as that. At this point, I think that we're still looking kind of maybe another week to 10 days before we start really getting an idea of Justice being back. I think that you're probably looking at Jaren hopefully being back towards the end of January. I think that MLK was an aggressive viewpoint for him coming off that meniscus tear. So with Justice, I think of the three, Justice, Jaren, and Jaw, I think it's still expected Justice will likely be back before, you know, will be back the soonest of those three. But it's probably going to be mid-January for him, likely late January for Jaren, and then probably anywhere from MLK Day to the 1st of February for Ja Morant. They said 3 to 5 weeks. Ja's going to do everything he can to make that, you know, 2 weeks at the longest just because of how much he wants to play. But the Grizzlies, you know, as we discussed before, they have every reason to take it cautious. Instead of, you know, knowing that the players are at 100%, the Grizzlies are likely going to make sure that they're at 150% before they come back. So I would just anticipate that you're probably looking at Justice being back towards the middle of January, Jaren and Ja probably being back towards late January, and either one of them could be back, or maybe the Grizzlies let them come back the same game. I don't know, but I still think we're at least a few weeks out when it comes to Ja and Jaren, especially with them being back. So another probably, it's probably still going to be another 3 weeks or so before this Grizzlies team really is at the point where you could say they're at full health, barring any unexpected health concerns. But the other question that Thomas had is the one that I really wanted to talk about here for the remainder of the show, and that is the Grizzlies' contract situations. And specifically, what Thomas was asking about was details on the options that the Grizzlies picked up for Jaren Jackson Jr., Grayson Allen, and Ja Morant and Brandon Clark. And this has been a big topic of discussion here recently, right before the season start. These rookie-scale contracts have had a major impact on the present and future for the Grizzlies with their current roster, and it's important to know these details for the outlook for a lot of these certain players. So, the way they look at it is this, is that when a rookie is drafted in the first round, and the Grizzlies now have a lot of first, former, and you know recent first-round picks on their roster, when a rookie is drafted in the first round, the general scale of things is that they sign what is considered to be a four-year contract. But it's broken up into where the first 4 years are guaranteed, or the first 2 years are guaranteed, and then the last 2 years are options. Now, teams are going to have different approaches to how they are going to handle those options. Typically, the general practice is that you at least pick up the year after's option before the current year so that the rookie knows that he's not playing for a contract or anything like that. So what does that mean? That means that in the case of, for instance, Ja Morant and Brandon Clark this year, they are in the second year of their rookie contract. They're in the second guaranteed year of their four-year rookie contract. But the Grizzlies, just as, you know, good practice, doing good business, they went ahead and picked up their third-year option so that both Ja and Brandon know that their next year is already picked up. it's a formality. Everybody knows that that was never going to be in question, obviously. The hope is that Jaron, John, Brandon, at least, are here well into their careers. But just as a general practice, you typically see, you know, the first year of a rookie's contract, they play it out. And then before a rookie's second year, their third and or fourth year options are picked up. For instance, the Pelicans, they went ahead and just picked up Zion's last 2 years of his four-year rookie contract before his rookie season even started, I believe. They could have done it afterwards, but they've already done it, basically. But that's why you see those reports of rookie contracts options picked up. It's that anybody that's on a rookie contract, when they're getting into their third and fourth year of that contract, it's team options. So the team just wants to eliminate any conversation and pick up the option. Now, for players such as Grayson Allen and Jaren Jackson Jr., it becomes a bit different. Those players, when it was announced that their options were picked up, their options were for their fourth years of their rookie contract. They already had had their options picked up for their third year since they were in the 2018 class, but the Grizzlies are going ahead and saying, okay, we're going to guarantee the remainder of your rookie contract. That has a little bit more caveat, though, with it, because then after rookies typically play their third year in the league, in their third year of a rookie contract, the offseason between the third and the fourth year is where you really start to see discussions happen about the future of rookies with their current teams. And coming up, what I'm going to do is I'm going to discuss how the Grizzlies have taken advantage of that with some players on the roster and how that those discussions are going to happen this offseason when it comes to other significant players on the roster. We'll continue our conversation about the Grizzlies' contracts coming up in the third segment here at Locked On Grizzlies. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it is now impossible to stock all parts you need in a traditional chain storefront. Why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning and wait while the counterman orders the parts that you need on his computer, choosing the only brand his warehouse happens to carry? You have computers with access to RockAuto.com at your home and pocket. RockAuto.com is the great place that allows for you to do everything that you need in the comfort of your own home. Whether it's parts that you may need for your car or someone else's, RockAuto.com is a place to go. Number one, it's very easy to use. Within a few clicks of the button, you should be able to find what you need. And they're likely going to have what you need, regardless of the part or regardless of the make and model. RockAuto.com is also very versatile. If you do your own car repairs, if you need someone else to do them, or if you do car repairs for a living, RockAuto.com is a great source to use because they're a family-owned business. They've been in business for more than 20 years, and they know that car parts typically are outside of folks' budget, so they're going to make it very budgetable for you as well. If you go to RockAuto.com right now, let them know that Locked On sent you in the How Did You Find Out About Us box so that they know that we sent you there and they know that you have gotten a great recommendation from the Locked On Podcast Network. RockAuto.com, amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the car parts you will ever need. Visit RockAuto.com today. East meets West in Locked On NBA Tuesdays. Wes Goldberg, Warriors beat writer for the Mercury News and host of Locked On Warriors, and David Ramil, host of Locked On Heat, tackle the biggest NBA stories of the day, coast to coast. Subscribe to Locked On NBA Podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Welcome back to Locked On Grizzlies. So we're continuing our discussion about rookie-scale contracts. And then Thomas Fracchia, a loyal listener, asked why so many team options were picked up when it came to the Grizzlies. And we've discussed why that is. And on a rookie-scale contract, there's 2 years that are guaranteed, and then there are two option years after that for a total of 4 years. And typically a team won't let a rookie play out a guaranteed year without their option for the next year already being picked up. That's why the third-year options for John Morant and Brandon Clark were certainly picked up, and why the third, fourth-year options for Jaren Jackson Jr. and Grayson Allen were picked up. But after a rookie's third year, that is when conversations start to happen, and really when teams indicate to these rookies just how committed that they are to them for the NBA season. If you go back a few weeks to around the December 20th, December 21st dates, a few days before the season, you saw this in full effect with names such as Donovan Mitchell, Jason Tatum, De'Aaron Fox, and others signing their next level contracts, those next max level contracts. They were at different levels because of the different accolades that these players have earned in their 3 years in the NBA, but before they played out the final year of their contract, these teams wanted to make sure that they committed to them long term so that they had that in place. I believe that's because there's not the ability to negotiate in season. I may be wrong on that, but it's generally just good business. Once a rookie has played their third year and it's within the team's plans to keep them well beyond their fourth, they commit to the extension. However, that's not always the case. You don't always see the rookies sign max deals. Obviously, you saw the Orlando Magic. They signed Markelle Fultz to a 3-year $50 million deal, Jonathan Isaac to a 4-year $80 million deal. You saw Luke Kennard with the Clippers sign a 4-year $64 million deal. So there's different scales in which you can sign these first-round rookies to contracts. But that's the big thing about it, is that if a first-round pick in the league after 3 years is on a certain team, whatever team he's on, it's now the time to start the discussion of what the next contract's going to be like. But not all rookies, first-round rookies, are obviously signed to their next contract beyond the rookie contract. Names such as Lauri Markkanen, John Collins, Lonzo Ball, and others, they did not sign an extension. So while their fourth year is guaranteed with the team that they're playing for, they then will become a restricted free agent after their fourth year. And of course, we've heard of restricted free agency in Memphis here recently, because that's been a way in which the Grizzlies have added talent over the past few years. Names such as Kyle Anderson, names such as Tyus Jones, and names such as DeAnthony Melton all were signed in restricted free agency based off the contracts that they had with the Grizzlies, but it was for different reasons. In the case of Kyle Anderson and Tyus Jones in back-to-back years, Anderson with the Spurs and Tyus Jones with the Timberwolves, they completed their 4-year contracts, their initial 4-year rookie contracts. Then they entered restricted free agency, and the Grizzlies made them an offer a certain number of years and a certain price. But for Anderson, who was drafted by the Spurs and was with them for 4 years, and with Tyus Jones, who was drafted by the Timberwolves and was with them for 4 years, if those players who are with the team that draft, or whatever team these players are with at the end of their 4-year rookie contract, that team that they last played for has the ability to match any contract offers that come their way through free agency. The Grizzlies were in the similar position with DeLone Wright last year. So what happens is that in Kyle Anderson and Tyus Jones's case, the Grizzlies made a four-year offer in Kyle Anderson's case and a 3-year offer in Tyus Jones's case. The Spurs and Timberwolves did not match, so the Grizzlies were able to get the rights to those players on those contracts. The same thing's going to happen with Lonzo Ball, Lauri Markkanen, and John Collins at the end of this year. Even though they didn't agree to extensions with their current teams, those teams do have the knowledge of knowing they still have the ability to retain them for the future because they can match any contract that comes to them this upcoming offseason. To make it simple, though, when it comes to the DeAnthony Melton situation as a second-round pick, it's a different type of scale when it comes to first-round picks, but it's the same thing. At the end of his initial rookie contract, the Grizzlies were in restricted free agency. They made him an offer that he was fine with. Nobody else made an offer, to really take him away from the Grizzlies, so the Grizzlies were able to sign him. But so now we've seen different scenarios in the case that, either a rookie is going to be extended after their third year for a new contract that will begin after their fourth year of their rookie contract is played out. That could happen. Or before a rookie's fourth year, they simply don't get a contract extension, play out that fourth year, but the team that they play for still has the rights to match any contract beyond that year. And why that's important, we've explained why these options happen, to give these rookies some security. There also is upcoming discussions when it comes to players like Grayson Allen and Jaren Jackson Jr., because this offseason is when the Grizzlies really are going to need to move on agreeing to their next contract. Now, we'll save this conversation, obviously, for another time because it can be detailed. However, I feel the initial likelihood is that the Grizzlies are certainly going to... I don't see any way in which the Grizzlies don't extend a rookie max contract opportunity for Jaren Jackson Jr. That's probably going to be to the extent of a, 5-year, $160 or so million dollar contract with maybe the fifth option being a team option, a player option, whatever it may be. But if you're seeing players like De'Aaron Fox and others getting these type of max contracts, I don't see why the Grizzlies are not going to pay Jaren. So they make that commitment now, but that commitment doesn't actually start until the 2022-2023 season. For Grayson Allen, I think it's a bit of a different story. I think that the Grizzlies certainly are committed to having him for his fourth year. He could be in trade discussions if he keeps struggling, though, eventually in time as well, but they certainly will keep his option for the fourth year. But I do think that at the end of his fourth year, unless something drastically changes, I don't see the Grizzlies really making a big commitment to him in terms of a second contract. So even if it gets to the point of him being with the team through next year, I think that he potentially leaves in restricted free agency, or maybe the Grizzlies look to, you know, make a small trade with him to get contracts, like they did with DeLon Wright to get Tyus Jones. I know I threw out a lot of different names, but there are several different examples as why these options being picked up, though they may be viewed as formalities, are actually very important. So the general thing to remember is that rookie contracts go for 4 years. The first 2 years are guaranteed, and then the last 2 years are options. So as the Grizzlies continue to, you know, rely on their very good drafts over the past few years and potentially add more in drafts coming up, whenever you see these teams' options picked up, just know that they're a formality, but also kind of know that once a rookie enters his third year and starting this offseason, or after a rookie's third year and starting this offseason, we're going to start seeing these discussions had. This offseason, we're going to start seeing the long-term commitments of several of the players we know are a part of our future. Starting this summer, that conversation likely begins with Jaren Jackson Jr., and then the summer after that, we're now starting to discuss with Ja Morant and Brandon Clark. So while the options being picked up may not be that big of a discussion point, they may just be a formality, nothing big at all, what they eventually lead to is certainly of the utmost importance. So it's certainly worth knowing, worth having knowledge of how these working contracts work, how they are moving forward, and knowing a timeline in which these conversations will start, where the Grizzlies' commitment to their main talents going forward not only certainly increase in terms of the investment that they're making in them, but also just how long-term of a window that the Grizzlies are going to have, hopefully, which extends well into, if not all of this decade, but just how long they're going to have the cornerstones of their future in place. So certainly great questions, Thomas. Wanted to give more details now, kind of an explanation of what they all mean instead of really getting into the details of what the Grizzlies will do. I think a lot of it right now is kind of to be determined. But with NBA contracts, you know, I could go a lot more in depth, but just to save time and you know, confusion, just want to give some general understanding. But when you see team options picked up, especially for rookies, that's what is meant by it. It's formalities now. It's simple, you know, just procedural type moves that don't involve a lot of, you know, discussion right now, but they are steps towards bigger moves that will likely start this offseason for several of the Grizzlies' main stars moving forward. But speaking of moving forward, that's going to bring us to the end of the show today. My name's Sean Coleman. Find me at StatsSAC, the show at Locked On Grizz. You can find the podcast wherever it's available or wherever you choose to listen. Coming up tomorrow, I'm going to discuss how Jonas Valanciunas is doing this season and why the Grizzlies' front line getting a bit healthier is helping to negate some of the struggles that Jonas Valanciunas is having so far this season. Plus, we'll also discuss ways in which the Grizzlies can really take advantage of their next 3 games in 4 nights to make sure that they keep their season afloat in terms of any possible playoff aspirations. My name is Sean Coleman. Thank you so much and hope you have a great day. We'll talk to you soon here on the Locked On Grizzlies podcast.